Hey, Impact Audio listeners. This is just a quick note before the episode on timing. We recorded this episode with Matt Hansen on June 10th, 2025, before President Trump signed the One Big Beautiful Bill Act into law. We checked in with Matt once the bill was signed, and while some details may have evolved, the adoption of the new legislation amplifies his core arguments. Without further ado, let's get into the episode. Welcome to Impact Audio. I'm Sam Kaplan, Vice President of Social Impact at Submittable, and today I'm joined by Matt Hansen, Managing Director of Grant and Policy at Widow Brian's, which is a part of Ambipar. Matt knows government grantmaking from the inside. After over a decade working as Grants Director in Arizona, Matt transitioned to a role where he supports strategic planning and development and implementation of federally funded grant and assistance programs. For info on how new federal priorities are reshaping the grantmaking landscape, Matt is the guy to talk to. In this moment of change and disruption, he sees a real opportunity for grantmakers to help build the new normal that they want. Matt sits down with me to explore the landscape and pinpoint the places that grantmakers can help shift practices for the better. Matt Hansen, welcome to Impact Audio, my friend. I've been a fan of yours for a very long time. I've seen you speak at National Grants Management Association. I've been following you online, reading the amazing things you've been posting on LinkedIn. So super excited to get to have this conversation with you today.
Thanks, Sam. I appreciate it and looking forward to today's conversation as well.
Yeah. So let's just start off by getting some of the basics out of the way. So tell us a little bit about you and your background personally, and then like your role in the organization that you work at.
Yeah. So I am a managing director with a consulting firm, Widow Brian's. We have what we refer to as a blue sky grants management team, about 150 grants professionals across the country, doing all sorts of, you know, federal, state, local, nonprofit, K-12 grant-related staff augmentation. But a little bit about my background, I've been in the grants world for over 30 years now. So I started off with the Department of Justice, where I was there for about 14 years on the grantor side, so working at the federal level. Then had an opportunity to be a municipal grants administrator. And then went to work for the state of Arizona, where I was the director of grants management for the state of Arizona. We were one of the first states to go to a centralized approach and one of the first states to implement an enterprise-wide grants management solution. So very proud of the work there before coming to Widow Brian's, where I've been for the last 4 years. In addition to sort of my professional work, I'm also a certified grants management specialist and a grants professional certified through both NGMA and GPA.
That's a great background, man. Tell me a little bit about the role of being a grants manager in the government space. So I am familiar with uniform guidance and I go to the conferences, but it strikes me as being a pretty complex job because you have so many things that you're responsible for and managing over the course of a grants life cycle. Like tell us just a little bit about the life of a grants manager.
So it's definitely one of those jobs where you have to wear multiple hats, you know, especially if you're at the federal, state, or, you know, large local jurisdiction level. You're oftentimes a grantee where you're researching and pursuing grants, but you're also a grantor. You're passing through funding. We sometimes joke that literally you need two different hats so you know which role you're working on at the time. The other interesting thing about grants in general is most people don't go to college to be a grants professional. You fall into it backwards. So you come out of an accounting space, you come out of a programmatic space, and one day you just get assigned a grant to manage and poof, you're a grants manager. So I agree, it's a very interesting space and a complex space depending on what your duties and responsibilities are.
Yeah, and you mentioned being certified. Like what does that mean in terms of the grants management role?
So like many of the other professions, being an accounting and HR specialist, procurement, for a long time, they've had different certifications and credentials to demonstrate your knowledge base, your experience. Grants was lacking that for a long time. And because, you know, there are so many different roles, different skill sets you needed to have, there really needed to be a measurement of, yes, this person has the knowledge base, this person understands everything that's needed to be a grant professional. And thankfully, two of our associations, the National Grants Management Association and Grant Professionals Association, established credentials. And I don't know the current numbers, but I think CGMS, there are only about 500 or 600 nationally, and GPCI is something like that as well. So it's a fairly small and exclusive club, but one that's growing and is, critically needed across the grants landscape.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, is it a role that, like, are there p new people coming into this role in terms of grants management, particularly in the government space? Like I mentioned, the, 2 CFR 200 uniform guidance. Like when I look at what it takes to be a grants manager in government grant making compared to private philanthropy, like they're both hard jobs and they're both unique, but there are so many requirements and regulations and so much administrative work that has to get done on the government side. And in my perspective, I'm really curious, like, is this a job that a lot of people are lining up for?
I don't know if it's a job that people are lining up for, but it's certainly a job that increasingly folks are getting pulled into. So, over my last 30 years, there's kind of this regular pendulum of limited federal financial assistance to large amounts, large influxes of federal financial assistance. We just went through a period in the 2000s with the housing crisis, the financial crisis, and the influx of stabilization money through the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act. And suddenly, a lot of local government folks were thrust into the role of being grants professionals to manage this influx of money. It then sort of died out a little bit. Fast forward to the COVID public health pandemic, and with CARES Act and ARPA, suddenly again, a lot of folks were thrust into this role as being, if not a grants professional, certainly having to take on grant responsibilities. If you think about the American Rescue Plan Act, it was one of the first times that the federal government has given money directly to smaller cities and towns, non-entitlement units of local government, and literally thousands of city clerks, accountants, folks of that nature who have never dealt with federal grants before found themselves having to manage, direct federal funds. I think right now we're probably looking at the pendulum swinging back the other way a little bit as the pandemic money starts to dry up. But yeah, certainly over the last 4 years, there's a whole bunch of people that got a crash course on how to manage grants and how to be a grants professional.
Yeah. And if we narrow that time frame a little bit to the last 4 months, like it has been a pretty wild ride for a lot of grants professionals out there and people that are working in this sector and in the industry. So I saw you speak at the National Grants Management Association conference a couple of months back, and really this was just shortly after the election and the executive orders that had been issued that were really sort of beginning to reshape federal grant making and I think state and local government grant making and the work that nonprofit organizations are doing. So you've begun to describe things as the new normal over the last 4 months. Tell me a little what you mean by the new normal and sort of how we got here.
Yeah, so through the pandemic period, there were just historic amounts of federal funding. Whether that was to be used for lost revenue for local governments, whether that was used for economic stability of small businesses, nonprofits, et cetera, but really unprecedented amounts of federal funding. At the same time, we probably saw the most flexibility we've ever seen within grants. So flexibility from timelines, how long we had to spend the money, flexibility in the allowable uses. Normally, grant programs are fairly narrowly, designed and scoped to be spent on one thing. A lot of the COVID stabilization money could be used for a broad range of items, including things as vague as lost revenue or, provision of government services. And we saw a lot of discretion when it came to actually the applicability of the uniform guidance and other historic norms in the grants world. Federal flow down requirements like the National Environmental Policy Act, Davis-Bacon, all the provisions of the uniform guidance suddenly didn't apply to some of the money. And it really, was an interesting time. But in some ways, I don't, it was a trap. It allowed us to get a little lazy, get a little lackadaisical, because timelines were extended, compliance requirements were extended. And certainly, we're in a correction mode now with the new administration. There are a lot of nonprofits, K-12, other organizations that have been impacted really significantly financially, and these organizations are hurting. There is going to be a significant amount of litigation going forward, appeals of termination, and I really, have empathy for those folks that are going through that. But on the government side, it's really just a return to kind of the normal state of grants management. And we really, as grant professionals, need to get back to some core principles. And we have some opportunity right now, with the new administration to inform some of the new normal as they're revamping what federal financial assistance looks like.
So, Matt, I just got done reading your article. It's titled From Challenges to Opportunities: How Grant Professionals Can Help Influence the New Normal in Federal Financial Assistance. And I thought it was really, really insightful. And there were a lot of things that came out of that that were just intriguing that I wanted to ask you about. And so, in that article, you make this sort of case that like systemic issues like procurement and budgeting are often seen outside of the grant space, but you think that they're really relevant to grants managers. And I'd love to hear you talk a little bit about why you believe these grants professionals should be leading cross-functional reforms around things like procurement and budgeting.
If I had to identify, one single problem with grants management, the grants enterprise in general, it would be silos. Not only do grant programs, grant professionals within a single organization operate within silos, but also they operate in silos separate from their other cross-cutting, shared service type resources within their organizations. Grant professionals tend to think that their grants are special. Their grants are different than everybody else's grants. And they operate like that. They, have separate policies and procedures. They have separate systems. They don't play well in the same sandbox. And the same thing goes with partnering with other business office support. So like procurement, like accounting, like finance, like budgeting. Et cetera. Grants are a transfer of a financial resource from one entity to another for a programmatic purpose. No different than a local government's tax collections, no different than bond revenues. And you certainly would not be looking at a government's bond capacity or bond revenues without incorporating finance and accounting and HR and everybody else upfront. And that's where grants historically have not played well with others. And it's normally with an entity you figure out all your other budgeting issues. You go through what your tax projections are going to be. You look at general fund. You look at all that, and then grants come later. And we really need to get into a position where grants are discussed upfront. They're coordinated upfront. And you're partnering with, the other professionals within your organization on the impacts, both positive and negative, that come from grants.
And as the new administration came into place and as the NGMA conference was happening, like there was a lot of uncertainty among this group of grants management professionals. Like we were beginning to see agencies really being stripped of their budgeting and their programming. We were seeing a lot of grants professionals, I think, begin to, they were beginning to fear whether or not they were going to be gainfully employed as the administration and as DOGE team was really looking for like more and more efficiencies in government funding and budgeting and grants. Like, how have things shaped up for grants management professionals over the last several months?
I think it's somewhat sector specific. I think certainly the nonprofit sector, the higher ed sectors, the research sectors are still feeling much of the brunt, much of the pain. Certainly, Elon Musk and his leadership of DOGE has taken a step back. We have many of the cabinet secretaries who have now been confirmed and are now, taking control of their agencies. So we are starting to see some stabilization. There are at least three legislative packages currently being considered that are really going to tell us what the next, couple of years look like. The one big beautiful bill that's being considered, the rescission package, and then the president's proposal for the discretionary budget. Any one of those is really going to tell us what the federal financial assistance landscape is going to look like going forward. We're certainly seeing some federal grant professionals being brought back on, being rehired, some of the RIFs being reverted. But we are seeing, the trickle down, impacts. We're seeing significant cuts in education funding and HHS funding that is impacting, state level professionals. So I would be lying to you if I could tell you what, the new normal is going to look like. But I do think there's a couple things, that we know, and that is more federal funding is going to be pushed down formulaically to the states. So states are going to have a larger role in passing through money. Historically, it's been about 60% of federal funding goes through states. I think we'll see that, upwards of, 80% going forward. That will mean less discretionary competitive funding opportunities at the federal level. And we also, are going to see that states are going to be responsible for more of the compliance responsibility. So, National Environmental Policy Act clearances being done at the state level, compliance with Davis-Bacon, Build American, Buy American, and general compliance with the uniform guidance, things that historically we've relied on federal agencies to review and approve on our behalf. More of that work is going to get pushed down to state and local governments.
Yeah. Is that a good thing or a bad thing in your opinion? If we see the federal funding go from something like 60% to 80% at the state level, like in terms of all of the people who manage grants at that state level or even local, municipal, tribal level, and there's a lot of like pass-through grants, a lot of subrecipient data to manage. And from my perspective, like a lot of this compliance is anecdotal and it's being discussed, but it's not necessarily codified in something like uniform guidance yet. Like, so I guess a couple of things. One, how are people managing it, this at that state and local level? Is this something that you think is going to be a positive thing for state governments? You've mentioned, this need for standardization and better process. Do you think it will eventually be a good thing for state governments as more of that money gets pushed down?
So how are people managing? I think they're managing by the seat of their pants. It's a very interesting environment. I think the American Rescue Plan Act and specifically the state and local fiscal recovery funds was really a preview of what the new normal is going to look like. With that program, Treasury was not weighing in on allowability, eligibility, compliance, et cetera. I mean, they were really pushing those decisions back to state and local government. And it made a lot of people very uncomfortable because they're used to going to their grantor agency to have them sign off on all manners of things, even things like disposition of property and closeout. And that's where, being a grant professional and really relying on those tried and true policies and procedures and internal controls is so critical. So I think there's going to be more of that going forward. Ultimately, will it be a good thing? I think yes, no, and maybe. I mentioned earlier that the purpose of grants is for a programmatic purpose. Those folks that are closer to that programmatic purpose are gonna know better, how dollars should be invested and what stakeholders should work with and how to structure programs. So I think that element of state and local control can be incredibly beneficial going forward. Where I get a little bit concerned is duplication of some of the problems we currently have at the federal level. So at the state level, if you have multiple grants management systems, you have multiple sets of policies and procedures, you have grantors not coordinating with each other, different application forms, et cetera, that siloed activity at the state level could really complicate things and really make the process inefficient. And I think that's one of the areas where grant professionals can really help inform the new normal. And that's working at the state and local level to try to streamline, those grants management practices in advance of more federal money flowing through that pipeline.
Yeah, I think all of that makes sense, Matt. Like, let's keep going down the path around like standardization and process improvement, especially at the state level. Like you mentioned, there are like duplication of technologies and systems out there. There's really not a lot of standardization around like grant applications and types of data that are being collected or asked for. Like, do you have thoughts on what would it look like if we began to standardize more at that state government level?
I think there's a very specific process that state and local governments should be working through right now. The first step is understand their current grants portfolio. I would argue that most folks in leadership roles at state and local government don't have a complete picture of their own organization's grants portfolio. Like they might know what is coming into the city manager's office, but they don't know what the police department or some other department has. So I think that's critical sort of first step is to understand your full grants enterprise. And certainly that is where, breaking down those silos, bringing in technologies to, have all your grant information in one place is critical. The next step, I think, is once you have this partial understanding of your complete grants enterprise, understand the problem. So do something like a lost funding opportunity analysis, where how is your jurisdiction benchmarked against peer jurisdictions? Are you getting your fair share of funding? Once you receive a grant, are you actually, fully utilizing the grant funds available? Are you getting fully reimbursed for the work you've accomplished? That is something that I think would be eye-opening to many jurisdictions there, where they think they're doing a good job, and the reality is they're missing out on, millions of dollars a year in funding. As we go into, what are the impacts of these three legislative packages, I think it's really important for organizations to be doing playing out scenarios. So if program X is cut by 25%, what does that mean to our jurisdiction? If program Y is eliminated altogether, what does that mean to our jurisdiction? Can we diversify our grant portfolio and look for foundation or nonprofit or other grants? Do we have to look for efficiencies, consolidation of systems? Or do we need to, tighten the belt and actually think about, curtailing certain programs? Unless you're actually working through those scenarios, you really don't know how to position yourself going forward. And then once you have those scenarios, it's, implementing whatever those plans are from those recommendations. I can tell somebody that they do okay with grants, but they're missing out on $50 million a year. The impact of these three legislative packages, their grant portfolio is probably going to be cut by 15%, and you need to do something. But that's all anecdotal. Like you need to put some hard data to that, play out the scenarios, have some recommendations, and then implement them going forward.
Matt, if you put your hat back on as a state level grant maker in Arizona, I'm curious, like, how much is the typical state chief information officer like thinking about or concerned about grants management and the technologies that accompany that? Like I've had the opportunity to go to the NASIO get together a couple of times, and I always look at their top 10 CIO level initiatives, and I don't remember like grants management ever rising to the top of those lists. Is it something that state level CIOs are preoccupied with, especially these days, or is this still something that I'm sure they care about but are not focused on as much as other technology initiatives?
We were fortunate enough to have a lot of support in Arizona, but generally speaking, I would say that purpose-built workflow type grants management solutions are fairly low on the list of IT professionals in general. And I don't think that's because they're not interested, they don't care. I think they just have, so many other priorities and potential vulnerabilities, that they have to address, starting with obviously, cybersecurity and systems related to human capital and, payment processing and that sort of thing. I think in those states where you have some sort of transformation office or some sort of process improvement activity going on, you'll see more of a, importance put on grants management systems. Oftentimes, when a state or local government is updating their enterprise-wide accounting system, their ERP system, there's more attention given to grants management systems. But no, I mean, I think, Sam, I think you know the story from Arizona. When we started digging in, we found out that we had 23 individual grants management solutions across the state. And this gets back to that siloed approach. And not only does that create, a lack of efficiency, a lack of, being able to roll up data, it also is a financial drain. We were spending about $3.5 million a year on licenses for these systems, where we could, consolidate maybe not to, a single solution, but a handful of solutions. And as we consolidated down to a handful of solutions, it was critical that these systems could share data, either directly with each other or to a data lake or data repository. One of the real problems whenever you start talking about grants management systems is the push and pull or the rub between the accounting financial folks and the programmatic folks. And the financial folks will say, our accounting system has a grants module. Why do we need a separate grant system? Well, those grants modules are built-in data repositories within the grant system. They're not the workflow tools that grant professionals actually need for researching, pursuing, applying for grants, or managing a grant post-award, doing reporting and monitoring and closeout and all those things. So that's a big upward battle that we've all been fighting for years, is trying to educate on the difference between a grant data module and an accounting system and a purpose-built, workflow solution.
Well, thank you for doing that. It's a theme that has been very important to my colleagues and I at Submittable for a long time. Like, our thesis is certainly that there is, with this renewed interest in government efficiency, taking a look at technologies like a grants management platform can really be hugely influential in terms of finding efficiency and saving money and, providing better digital services and constituent experience. And so we're super excited in a sense that, this renewed interest in finding ways to function more efficiently and effectively and more, with less expense. We feel like, technology is kind of right at the heart of a lot of this. It's not all of it. There certainly has to be things like process improvement and willingness to change workflows and ways of working. But we feel pretty strongly that technology can be a catalyst for this level of change and efficiency.
No, I couldn't agree more. And I really look at grants management as a three-legged stool. And those legs are made up of people, policies and procedures, and systems. And all three of them have to be in place to be successful. Too many times we've heard a jurisdiction say, if I just got a system, it would fix all my problems. Well, if you don't have the policies and procedures, internal controls, and the people to operate the system, you really haven't fixed anything. So you need to address through all three. I think the important thing about systems right now, when I laid out, understanding your portfolio, doing loss opportunity analysis, looking at scenarios and everything else, that's one of those areas where, you really need an IT tool to do that work. Like, that's not something you can, just continually be, knocking on doors and trying to pull paper copies of grant awards. It's just a very inefficient process. And I do think where jurisdictions need to look at tightening their belt a little bit, consolidation of solutions. Some state governments, like I in Arizona, where we had 23, can you cut that number in half and still function at a very high level, but at a much more reduced cost? But I think the biggest part of system consolidation is the ability to roll up and analyze and visualize data. And then also, we haven't really talked about it today, Sam, but it's the customer experience. If you think about a local government professional who needs to have logins to 23 individual state agency systems, know how they all operate, know, where a funding opportunity is going to be posted. That's a terrible user experience, and that's one of the areas where states can really make, drastic improvements by consolidating to a one or a handful of solutions.
Yeah, I agree with you, Matt. And so with all of this motivation, like coming from the federal government and now state and local governments to be more efficient, like what are the remaining barriers to achieving this vision of like fewer systems and, better integration among systems that ultimately lead to that better user experience that you were describing?
We talked earlier about the impacts of DOGE, the Department of Government Efficiency. I've stated previously that I think the committees on government efficiency and councils on government efficiency that are popping up at the state level are ultimately going to be more impactful on, how we do business at the state and local government level. Certainly we've seen, COGE committees already having hearings, already passing legislation, already, introducing bills. As far as, what are the obstacles? The obstacles are really just breaking down the silos, coming to the realization that, yes, our particular grants, my grant portfolio might be slightly different than your grant portfolio, but for the most part, the core pieces, there's an application, there's award, there's payments, there's reports, are the same. And we need to start focusing on the similarities of our grant programs and not just, hanging on to the differences in our grants programs. And that's where we can really come together and, streamline applications, streamline reporting, streamline closeout, really think about the end user experience, and advocate from within our organizations. Instead of trying to hang on to, the legacy product or the legacy policies and procedures that we've always utilized.
Yeah. And so to help achieve that vision, what do you think that, technology vendors like Submittable and consultants like Widow Brian, what can we do to contribute towards achieving that level of like standardization and better process and sort of improving that end-to-end user experience of applying for and seeking grant funding?
So I think one of the things many of us are guilty of, especially on the private sector side, is exploiting the differences. Trying to constantly reinvent the wheel. When you think about policies and procedures, internal controls that are 2 CFR uniform guidance compliant, it's all the same. Like every jurisdiction needs, policies on conflict of interest and procurement and duplication of benefits, et cetera, et cetera. And I think too many times, instead of focusing on capacity building and training and trying to lift up the grants community as a whole, we're trying to exploit, we can develop something for you, specific for your use case. And that's really created this environment where people, think like they have to build their own thing, have their own materials. So that's one area. I think with systems, it's understanding what your system does well, what your system maybe doesn't do well, and not trying to do all things for everyone. There are solutions that are, very much focused on pre-award grant research and pursuance. There are systems that are very much focused on post-award. But the key thing with all of these systems is, making sure that they are easily implementable, making sure that the end user experience is as positive as possible, and making sure that, a system and the data within the system can communicate with other solutions, whether that be a procurement solution, accounting solution, et cetera. We all need to kind of remember that while there are those of us that are full-time grants professionals, the vast majority of people working with grants, it's a other duty is assigned, and they don't have, the time and energy to devote to a 6-month, full-time implementation of a solution. They don't have the time to build out custom forms and, spend half of their day, trying to manage a solution. So we really need to make things as easy and as simple as possible for any of the users, regardless of, their past experience, their capacity, or their time commitment they have going forward.
That's a fantastic answer, Matt.
Before I leave you, I just want to ask one last question. That is, if you are a state or local government employee out there, like, what is the best way to reach out to you, and what are some of the types of engagement that Widow Brian can help these organizations with?
No, I appreciate that. So I'm really proud of the fact that Widow Brian's has what we call the Center for Grants Excellence. And it's a page where we are putting additional training material. We are putting collateral. I'm trying to put my money where my mouth is. So when I talk about not reinventing the wheel, we are putting templates of policies and procedures and collateral out there for anybody to consume. So they can just go to the Widow Brian's website and find that. Or somebody can, reach out to me directly at M Hanson, Hanson, at widowbryans.com. I really think this is an opportune moment for people to take a hard look at their existing grants enterprise and reposition yourself going forward, whether that is repositioning because opportunities are drying up, or repositioning yourself because there's a whole, new bunch of opportunities in front of you. And we can help do that, when I talked about loss funding analysis and doing that scenario planning, or, even further downstream, doing staff training and post-award management.
Yeah, and there may not be a better time in the coming many years to think about that repositioning than there is right now with all of the changes taking place across the sector. So, Matt, thanks a lot, man. This has been such a great informative conversation. I've really enjoyed it, and I will look forward to continuing to see your words of wisdom out there on LinkedIn and seeing you on stage at all of the conferences that we go to.
I really appreciate it, Sam. Thanks.
Every time I talk to someone who's a true insider of government grant making, I feel hopeful about the future of the sector. Yes, there is rapid change happening right now, but the people doing this work day in and day out are incredibly sharp and dedicated. And if they're given the resources that they need, I think they can break down the silos and build partnerships that will make grant programs across the country stronger and more resilient. And that benefits all of us. That's all from me today. Thanks for tuning into Impact Audio, produced by your friends at Submittable. Until next time.